So going into this new series, we thought, okay, we just did a series on overcoming sin and brokenness, and a lot of you confessed and you gave up things in your life, and you said, I'm done with the destructive habits, and you know, for whatever reason why I make these decisions, I want to be over it. I want to get past all the bitterness and all the things that trip me up in relationship with God. And so we thought, let's follow up this series on a talk about what it means to walk in Christ. Because the Bible says this amazing thing over and over and over again, that we are to be in Christ, not near him, not close to him, but in him. He in us and us in him, like that intimately connected. And so when we were reading through some of these verses about freedom, it kind of says in Christ, you're a new creation, right? In Christ, you find your purpose, your identity, all these different things, paraphrase of the Bible says. And so we said, well, what does that really mean? If you look at the words in Christ, what does that really mean? And so we're gonna explore that in our new series. What does that mean to walk in step in Christ, okay? And so if you want to open up your Bibles to John 15. It'll be on the screen for you.
Yeah.
As okay. Well.
So we're going to be reading today out of John 15, 1 through 17. All right, here we go. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this: to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. And so the core truth that we want to take out of this passage today is that a life in Christ is a life that is in step with Christ. A life in Christ is a life in step with Christ, a life side by side with Christ. And so this verse 4 here, it says, remain in me as I also remain in you. So if we could say, right, in one little snippet, how do you want to, if you've been set free, right, and you know the freedom that God has given you through his salvation, through his healing, through his deliverance, right? If you know that in your life, if you want to maintain that, if you want to keep that, you have to remain in him. That's the only way that we can know that he will also remain in us, mm-hmm. and we will be in step with him.
Yeah. So we have this question that we think that Jesus answers in this verse, and that is, how do we stay in step with him? Because the reality is, I don't know about you, I have really short legs, okay? So it's really hard for me to keep up with people, all right? Anyone have short legs? And they just know, right? Like, I feel like sometimes, I'm just going to call Cody out right now. Sometimes when we go places, he is like 10 feet in front of me. We're running errands or something, and I'm like, right? Like trying to keep up. And sometimes in our walk with Christ, it can feel like that, right? It can feel like I am just 10 steps behind. But when we get all of that, right? We handed over our sin, our junk, our freedom. We are walking in step, in line with him. And so we want to have a life with him that says, I'm side by side. I'm not one step, 10 steps behind. I'm not in front of you. We're walking this out together. So I'm going to pray for us really quick before we kind of go into our sermon today. So if you just bow your heads. God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, that thousands of years ago you said this. You said the crux of everything is to remain in me and I in you. Lord, would you open our hearts now? About half of us did not sleep last night, but we come and we diligently say, Lord, we want to hear from you. Wake us up, open our hearts and our minds, God, and move in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing we see here of how do we stay in step with him is that, number one, we have to own that it's life or death to stay in step with Christ. And you have notes in your bulletin if you want to keep up with us. But in verses 5 and 6, Jesus says this amazing thing, and we've maybe read it 100 times, but I'm going to read it to you again. It says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I want you to say it with me. Ready? Apart from me, you can do nothing. And you know, I've read that so many times, but if we're talking about being in step with him, I mean, that is an amazing truth that we need to take seriously. Apart from me, guys, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. All purpose, joy, identity, all of it, who we are, comes from a relationship with Jesus. We call ourselves storytellers here at Village Church. We believe that everyone that knows Jesus has a story with him that other people need to hear so they can have one with him. And at the crux of every story with Jesus, there is this truth: apart from me, you can do nothing. A life apart from Jesus equals ultimate death and destruction. We know that because we came from that, right? If you haven't known Jesus your whole life, you know what was going on before your life with Jesus. But I'll say this even for the Christians in the room, choices apart from Jesus, even for the Christians, are all dead ends, right? Choices and decisions and movements in our lives and things that we pick up and do apart from Jesus equal a dead end every time. I think if we're going to understand what it means to walk in step with Jesus, we have to know this is life or death. Apart from Jesus, there is nothing. And the Bible goes on and on to say what that life looks like: death and destruction here and now and in eternity. But with him, we're going to talk about that in a minute, there are amazing promises. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Yeah. And remaining in Jesus, right, means that we remain free, right? Once we've been set free, if we want to maintain that, right, we have to stay in Christ. We mm-hmm. have to remain free by saying that, you know what, if you aren't with me, Jesus, then I want nothing to do with it. If whatever this thing is in front of me isn't what you want, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's what you want, then I want nothing to do with it. Because that's what he promises us. Mm-hmm. He promises us enough to know the difference too, right? When it's something that this world offers and it's something that he offers. It's two very, very different things. Our nation's suicide rate right now is at a 30-year high. Why do you think that is? Because hope is being misplaced by people in our nation. Misplaced in every source other than Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's partly due to groups like this white supremacist group that claimed that they were doing this for God. It's in part because of people like that that have given Jesus a bad name. But the real Jesus doesn't have a bad name, guys, right? We know that. And it's our job to be authentic models of Christ, to be real with people, to be transparent and show people this is who Jesus is. He's a loving, amazing Savior. Chester Bennington just recently took his own life. The lead singer of Linkin Park, I'm sure a lot of you may have seen that in the news. And I want to read a quote from one of the songs that he released just earlier this year. It's called "Nobody Can Save Me." The verse says, "I'm dancing with my demons. I'm hanging off the edge. Storm clouds gather beneath me. Waves break above my head. At first hallucination, I want to fall wide awake now. You tell me it's all right. Tell me I'm forgiven tonight. But nobody can save me now. I'm holding up a light, chasing up the darkness inside, because nobody can save me." This is a guy who had everything, according to this world, right? He was rich, married, 6 kids, famous. He got to do what he wanted to do, right? He was a musician, and that's all he had to do, right? That was his whole life. And yet, if you listen to most of Linkin Park's catalog, you will hear so much of those that music revolving around his emptiness, revolving around this self-hatred and these questions that kept rolling around in his head. Is this all there is? Is this all there is? You could almost hear him begging for answers, because every place he turned, he found that hope came up short. But we know why. Because there's only one place. In this song, he searched for salvation and forgiveness. Both of those things he searches for desperately in this song. And he never found it. Because he didn't find Jesus. But here's the thing, guys. As much as we can mourn those who never find him, who never reach out to Jesus and never accept him as their Savior, as the one who can truly give them hope, I pray that we as Christians can truly appreciate what we have in Christ because of what it means to those who don't have him. Do we understand that? We have hope. And if we don't live a life that says, "I don't want anything but what you have for me," then we do a grave disjustice to this world and those who watch us. And the Chester Benningtons of this world will continue to lose their lives. I know that's heavy. I know. But in light of what's going on in this country, we can't ignore it. We can't tiptoe around that anymore. Mm-hmm. We can't pretend that that's not absolute reality. If you want to make a difference in this world, if you cry out for injustice and you see the things on the news and you wonder, how, what is the turnaround? What in the world is going to make this change? You are.
Yeah.
I am. We are. That's what's going to be the difference. Nothing else, because we have Jesus.
Yeah, I wonder, how would our lives look differently if we woke up every day just at the forefront of our minds knowing, apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. I wonder what I would do first thing in the morning, right? If that was the truth that I was living. Apart from me, apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. I wonder how I would parent. I wonder how I would relate to my spouse. I wonder how I would make career decisions and financial decisions, right? Because what happens is sometimes, you know, good things come our way that are seemingly good things, right? You know, think jobs with more money or you know, people that we've been longing for or whatever in our life. And I wonder sometimes if we don't stop and take a moment and say, wait a minute, Jesus, if you're not in this, if you're not with me, I want nothing to do with it, right? Can you imagine if we didn't just jump on it and then be like, okay, Jesus, I'm three steps ahead of you. Come on and catch up with me now, and I want your blessing. We wonder, right? We wonder sometimes, why am I feel so off? Why are things struggling so much? I think it can come back down to this truth. I know it without a shadow of a doubt in my own life. Apart from Jesus, there are all dead ends, all of it. Every single thing that you're searching and wanting and desiring, no matter if it looks good, apart from Jesus, it's nothing. Yep. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If we're going to walk in step with him, we have to own that it's life or death here. Even our daily decisions, small decisions that we can make with that truth in mind. We need to make sure that we're in step with Christ when we do that.
Yeah. So the next thing, if we're to stay in step with Jesus, right? We know we have to own that it's life or death. But second, we have to own everything that he promises us. There's this incredible promise just in this passage, right? He's promising that we will have life. That's a pretty amazing promise in and of itself, right? That we will have life, that we are clean, we're forgiven, we're whole, mm-hmm. We are holy, we are set apart, we are clean. That's an amazing thing. Your prayers will be answered. I know we've talked about this before, right? Who wants their prayers answered, right? I would hope everybody's raising their hand right now, right? You want your prayers answered? Yeah, yeah, I want my prayers answered. Otherwise, what's the point, right? This is what's promised to us, right? If you are in step with Christ, your prayers are answered, your joy is complete. Wow. Your joy is complete. Complete, total satisfaction in knowing who you are, knowing what you are to do, knowing whose you are, right? That's where that joy mm-hmm. comes from. It says, you will bear fruit. Your life will bear fruit. And here's an amazing one. You will remain in his love. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 91, and at the end it says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. Right? And that verse kind of was a conundrum for me for a while of like, okay, right? If we love you, you will rescue us. Like, okay, so instead of God saying, because I love you, right? Because that's a given. We know God loves us. Jesus loves me, this I know, right? That's the first thing we teach kids pretty much, right? We know that Jesus loves us. We know that God loves us. But it's because of our love for him that he's able to rescue us. Because when we love him, then we are in relationship with him. And then we get to stand under his umbrella of goodness, of love, of protection, of all of these amazing promises that are made in this passage alone. Life made clean, prayers answered, joy is complete. Mm-hmm. We will bear fruit and we will remain in his love.
Yeah, it's interesting when Jesus is saying this in this passage, he's saying, I'm the vine, you are the branches. So I'm the one that holds you, and you get all your sustenance, all your life, everything from me. And then he goes on to say, but you got to remain in me. You have a choice to abide there with me. And if you don't, you get cut off, right? If there's no fruit and nothing's happening, you get cut off because it's a useless branch. And we can see that and say, geez, Jesus, you know, well, come on. Like, sometimes I'm going to mess up. But then he says here afterwards, he says, but let me just tell you, it's almost like he's making an argument for staying in him, abiding with him. Let me just tell you what I promise you. And Cody went through all the things this passage says. And I want to say this to you. Knowing God's promises is different than owning them in your life, right? I've been walking with God for a number of years now, and I know the promises of God. I know what he promises me in his word. But there are seasons where I have to own them, right? And typically those seasons are the times when I'm looking forward to the future in hope that those promises are true, right? Meaning the situations that I find myself in when I have to own God's promises are not always my favorite seasons. Right? Can you relate to that? Have you ever had to be anywhere and say, God, you promise that you're a provider. You promise that you have joy. You prompt for me. You promise that you will rescue me. You promise this, and I'm holding on to that promise. Because a life in step with Christ is not an eventless life. Right? Things are going to happen in our lives. We live in a broken world. And so when we walk in step with Christ, the way we stay there is by owning those promises. Because what often trips us up from staying in step with Him are those seasons where we have to own those promises, right? Those are the times where we're like, I'm just tired, I'm done, I'm discouraged, I'm just going to go my own way, I'm going to try my own thing. Those are the times where we begin to step out of step with Him. And so we have to own God's promises, not just know them. Owning God's promises is a choice made in trust. It's a trusting of God. He says in these verses here, and Cody went over it, but I just want to remind you again. He says, ask, if you remain in me, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. He says this, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. You will have fruit. You will bear much fruit. You will have purpose in your life. And so as you have to trust God. Sometimes we have to put that out there, right? And say, okay, you say this, Lord, and I'm owning that for my life this week. I'm not going to step out in discouragement. I'm not going to go my own way. You say, if I remain in you, that I have your ear. You will hear what I pray. Ask whatever you wish. It will be done for you. What an amazing promise that we have the Father's ear. Amen? You will have joy. You will have life. You will remain in my love. You know, Cody said this the other day, and it just really struck me. My friend just lost her husband, young guy, lost his life very tragically, left kids behind. They love Jesus so much. And Cody said this thing that it just really spoke to me. It said, joy is central for the Christian and suffering is peripheral. But for not the Christian, suffering is central and joy is peripheral. Meaning when you're a Christian, specifically with that promise of joy, that is the crux of your life. That is central in your life, that joy. And I know that joy because I have it, right? I got the joy down in my heart, okay? I have it. But things happen, right? Sometimes husbands die or tragedy happens and suffering comes in, but it stays peripheral. I'll tell you, my friend Lisa, she's so faithful. And she is devastated. She is beyond devastated that her husband is gone. But I'll tell you, we were on the phone yesterday and she was just laughing. We're just laughing about something. Right? Because for the Christian, joy is central and suffering is peripheral. When you own the promises of God, it keeps you in step with Him, that you can walk in step with Christ even through the most devastating of times on this earth. Right? That is going to be so important for us if we're going to say we're going to be people that are gonna stay with Him. We got freedom, praise you Jesus for that moment where I confessed my sin, I got freedom and breakthrough, but I gotta walk in step with you now. There's gonna be times where that is tested in my life and I'm gonna own what you have promised for me.
Yeah. So this question, what are you facing right now in your life? What are you facing right now that requires you to own God's promises to see you through it? Because those things that we face that we know we're going to come up against, that should drive us to be all the more in step with Christ so we can have a confidence. Mm-hmm. To know that whatever we face, right, God's already gone before. Whatever we face, we are currently in step with Him. And so Jesus is guiding us through in real time, right? We aren't falling way behind and hoping that we can catch up. What are the promises that you need to own today? The promises where God is telling you, this is who I am. And it's an honest take it or leave it kind of promise. He wants to give you every last shred of Himself. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you that anything outside of that, where we aren't remaining in him and we're trying to look to the world for other stuff, there's a fly here. I'm not just like dancing right now. Like
hey, that joy.
Right, yeah. I just can't. I don't know where I was talking, but anyway.
That's all right.
God offers us so much, so incredibly much, but we have to stay in him. We have to remain in him. We have to love him so that we are drawn really close, right into his bosom, right? That's the best place for us, because then we know our joy will be made complete. We will bear much fruit, right? Our prayers will be answered. It's incredible what's promised. So today, remind yourself what's offered to you. Mm-hmm. Remind yourself in those moments this week, remind yourself, this is what's offered to me. And today, I'm going to own it. I'm going to own it.
Yeah. And lastly, we see here, we can own the shift from servant to friend. Yeah. And as we were preparing this, I actually got weepy as we're writing our sermon out, because in 13 through 15, Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Mm. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. And isn't that amazing? He says, you're not a servant of mine, you're a friend of mine. I mean, I was just thinking about that and how that reality, if when we realize that, that shifts our thinking, that should rock our world. That Jesus is our friend. We're not here just to serve him and, okay, because he says up here, you know, you got to do my commands, right? I command you to do these things, and if you want to remain in me, that's how you do it, right? You need to trust me, and what I say is good for your life. But he end caps it with, but you're not just here to just obey me, yes, master, we're friends. We're walking in this together. I'm not just telling you from afar, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to make it known to you, hey, we're going this way, and everything the Father tells me, you get to know too. Isn't that amazing? Everything he gives to me, I make known to you. And I think he's saying direction, the words that he tells me, you get to know. The power that I have access to because of him, you get to have. Everything that I have as the Son of God is now offered to you because you are a friend of mine. That should humble us, right? Everyone should just get on their knees right now. Sometimes I wish we had like kneelers or something, because it's hard down there. But that should just really rock our world, that we do, there's a shift that happens from servant to friend when we walk in step with Jesus. And we have to own that every day, right? We have to own that. I'm not just here to put checks in the box and say, yes, sir, and okay, what do you want for me today? Okay, legalism, right? Earning my way or just doing yes and no commands. I'm here to have a relationship with Jesus, a hand-in-hand, step-in-step relationship as a friend would.
Yeah, and this was the great promise that Christ represented, was the relationship that we could have with God. It was no longer a relationship of just serving this omnipotent God that was too holy for us to even behold, where if we were ever in his presence, we would be struck down and killed, right? So it became this servant, it was a servant-master kind of relationship that had to be that way in the entirety of the Old Testament. Right? And we can see this even clearly, right? This shift from being in obedience is what the Old Testament was all about. Be in obedience. That is the only way that we are going to receive blessings from God in the Old Testament. But now we can be in Christ. Mm. And there's a huge shift from servant to friend there. And we can see this in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. See, there's the life and death, right, that we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. So see, it's all about obedience in the Old Testament. And we saw how difficult that was for the Israelites to stay in obedience, right? Right? Moses goes up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. God's glory is up on that mountain. They can see it, and they still make a golden calf. Right? They can see the presence of God, and they're like, well, I think Moses abandoned us, so we better worship something. But isn't that us? Hasn't that been maybe some of our stories, right? God seems distant, and so it's like, well, forget it. I'll go try something else that'll maybe give me some satisfaction or hope or joy or whatever I think I'm needing, right? But that is the difference from being in obedience. And then now, John 15:14, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. That looks like relationship right there. Mm-hmm. We can know what Jesus is doing. We can know where he's going because we are finally offered to be in step with Christ. Does that resonate? Do we understand that? We know this is kind of a big topic to talk about, but it's so vital that we understand this in our walk. And so we want to ask just some questions of maybe you're still stuck in a servant mentality of like, boy, I guess if I just stick my head down and I serve you, God, I hope everything will be all right, because I don't dare presume to have a relationship with you because I'm not good enough. I have all this junk in my life that I could never step into your presence over. There's too much. So I'll just try to follow these rules and hope that that's enough. That was me for the longest time in my life, and so I know that I'm not unique in that. And some of you here today need to hear that you don't need to be stuck in a servant mentality. You need to make the shift from servant to friend, because that is where the abundant life mm-hmm. in Christ lies, in Christ where that lies.
Yeah.
Are you a friend or are you a servant? Which one do you want to be today?
Have the worship team come forward, and we're just going to respond to God, respond to what he says here about remaining in him. And so as we do, usually we just want to give you a moment to respond to him now, maybe make a moment out of it between you and God. So I just have a few questions for you. So if you just want to bow your heads, and if I ask a question, and this is you, and this is kind of what you're hearing today, and you want to make this a vow before him, you can just raise your hand. So the first thing is here, we're talking about Jesus says, remain in me. In other translations, abide in me. Don't go apart from me. And then he says all these reasons why. That apart from me, there's nothing. I have promises. If you remain in me, there's promises that are there for you that you can hold to every day of your life. And God's promises never fail. He says, when you remain in me, you're not a servant just following rules. You're a friend. We're in relationship and friendship together. And so if you're hearing this today and you're realizing, you know, I have maybe been living parts of my life apart from Christ. So first thing is I need to get in step with him. And you want to make today the day that you do that. Would you just raise your hand? Thank you, guys. Thank you. Awesome. I want you to know that that is a real choice that you're making right now. I know you that sounds silly, but it's real. When you're saying, Lord, right now I want to be in step with you, what you're saying is, Lord, forgive me for the times I've been apart from you. Forgive me for any bitterness, any sin that I've taken up in my life. Forgive me, Lord, and I want to get right back in step. And what's amazing is that I can confidently tell you by God's word that you are in step with him when you take that posture in your heart. And so that is an amazing thing that you raised your hand today and said that. So just rejoice in your spirit. You are no longer out of step. When you raise your hand and say, I want to be in step with you. I want it. I'm laying everything else down. You are then made right. There's nothing else that needs to happen. You don't have to earn it, do all these good things before you can be back in step with him. Praise God. Second, if you're realizing that you kind of get derailed in your relationship with Jesus when it comes to seasons where you have to own God's promises, when things aren't always going right, that's when you start picking things back up, maybe picking anxiety back up or making decisions in your own way to control. And you're saying, not anymore. I'm going to be a follower of Jesus that owns what he promises in my life. Would you raise your hand? Awesome. That's so good. And thirdly, Cody said this well, Maybe you're still stuck in a servant mentality. Maybe you think that abundant life in Christ looks like following a list of rules blindly. If you hear that and you say, you know what, that's me, I want you to know Jesus has friendship offered to you. A life in step with Christ is a friendship, a relationship with Him. And if you want to own that today, would you raise your hand? Awesome. God, we are so grateful for what you offer us. God, we can't even begin to scratch the surface of how deep your love is for us, of how vast and wide your promises are. God, I thank you that we can sit in this room and every single one of us can say, never once have you failed us. We failed you, but Lord, you never have failed us. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you would just be bringing us back in step with you for those that have been out. God, that we would be a church that says, apart from Jesus, we know we can do nothing. We will make no decisions, no movements without knowing our Savior is with us, in step with us. God, we lay our lives down. We trade ashes and junk in for beauty. And we thank you, Lord, that you readily take it and replace it with a life full of promises. Lord, we are undeserving to be called your friend. What a high position to have. Lord, we're grateful. Thank you. That not only you promise all of this to us, but you say, Anne, I just want to be with you. I just love you. I delight in you, my creation that I made, that I died for, that I conquered death for. Lord, we are honored and humbled to be called your children and to be called your friends. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. As we respond to you now, Lord, as we worship you, Lord, I just get the sense that some are coming back to you even now in their hearts. Father, as we sing this next song, I just know that even figuratively, people will be running toward you. This week, I've just been thinking, Lord, about the parable of the prodigal son, God, that when we come walking back down the path after we've just wasted our inheritance, Lord, you see us and you come running after us. Where we're ashamed and out of step, God, you take the biggest leap to be in step with us, Lord. We're undeserving and we're grateful. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.